जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे।
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की जय यमुनामयी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी देवी की जय ग्रंथ राष्ट्रीयमद भागवतम की जय कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर नंबर 8 एंटाइटल्ड ध्रुव महाराज लीव्स होम टेक्स्ट नंबर 82 श्री भगवान उवाच मा भैष्ट बालं तपसो दुरत्ययान् निवर्तयिष्ये प्रतियात स्वधाम यतो हि वै प्राण निरोध आसीद् औत्तानपादेर्मयि संगतात्मा मा भैष्ट बालं तपसो दुरत्ययान् निवर्तयिष्ये प्रतियात स्वधाम यतो हि वः प्राण निरोध आसीद् औत्तानपादेर्मयि संगतात्मा माभैष्टबालं तपसो दुरत्ययान् निवर्तयिष्ये प्रतियातस्वधाम यतो हि वः प्राणनिरोध आसीद् औत्तानपादैर्मयि सङ्गतात्मा. శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ మాభైష్ట బాలం తపసో దురత్యయాన్ తైష్యే ప్రతియాత స్వధామ యతో హివ ప్రాణ నిరోధ ఆసీద్ ఔత్తానపాదిర్మయి సంగతాత్మా. శ్రీ భగవాన్ ఉవాచ. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, Ma Bhaishta, do not be afraid. Balam, the boy Dhruva. Tapasaha, by his severe austerity. Duratyayat, strongly determined. Nivarta Yishye, I shall ask him to stop this. Pratiyata, you can return. Swadhama, your own respective homes. Yataha, from whom? He, certainly. Vah, your. Prana nirodha, cooking, choking the life air. Asit, happened. Uttanapadihi, on account of the son of King Uttanapada. Mayi, unto me. Sangatatma, fully absorbed in thought of me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, My dear demigods, do not be perturbed by this. It is due to the severe austerity and full determination of the son of King Uttanapada, who is now fully absorbed in thought of me. He has obstructed the universal breathing process. You can safely return to your respective homes. I shall stop this boy in his severe acts of austerities, and you will be saved from this situation. Purport. Here one word, Sangatatma, is misinterpreted by the Mayavadi philosophers, who say that the self of Dhruva Maharaj became one with the Supreme Self, the Personality of Godhead. The Mayavadi philosophers want to prove by this word that the super soul and the individual soul become united in this way, and that after such unification, the individual soul has no separate existence. But here it is clearly said that by the Supreme Lord that Dhruva Maharaj was so absorbed in meditation on the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he himself, the universal consciousness, was attracted to Dhruva. In order to please the demigods, he wanted to go himself to Dhruva Maharaj to stop him from this severe austerity. The Mayavadi philosopher's conclusion that the Supreme Soul and the individual soul become united is not supported by this statement. Rather, the Super Soul, the Personality of Godhead, wanted to stop Dhruva Maharaj from this severe austerity. By pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one pleases everyone, just as by watering the root of a tree, one satisfies every branch, twig, and leaf of the tree. If one can attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one naturally attracts the whole universe, because Krishna is the supreme cause of the universe. All the demigods were afraid of being totally vanquished by suffocation, but the Supreme, but the Personality of Godhead, assured them that Dhruva Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord and was not about to annihilate everyone in the universe. A devotee is never envious of other living entities.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroha Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunadhanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. Mabhaishta Balam Tapaso Duratyayan. So in this shloka, this is the last shloka of this chapter. In this chapter we have seen Dhruva Maharaj was pained by the harsh words of Suruchi and got the guidance of Suniti that he has to worship the Supreme Lord to fulfill any desire. And then he went to the forest and he was directed by Narada Muni to worship Lord Vishnu. And he performed tapasya. And all the demigods became perturbed because of this tapasya. And all the demigods went to Lord Vishnu to inform him that we are getting suffocated because of these austerities done by Dhruva Maharaj. So can you please do something about it? Now in this verse, the Supreme Lord is reassuring and encouraging the demigods, don't worry, he is my devotee after all. He will not do anything to you. Mabhaishta balam tapasa duratyayan. So mabhaishta, please don't worry. So this balam, this small boy, 5-year-old child, is doing some tapasya. Right? Duratyayan, extremely difficult tapasya he is doing. Nivarta ishye pratiyata swadhama. So all of you people should not worry, just swadhama, go back to your abodes. Okay? Yato hi vaha prana nirodha asid. And you may feel that your prana, your life force are getting suffocated because of this austerity, but I will go and stop him. Right? So, uttana padir mai sangatatma. I will personally go to Dhruva Maharaj and stop him from doing these austerities. Basically, he has some desires to be fulfilled. So, if I fulfill the desires, he'll stop. So, Mai Sangatatma is misinterpreted by Mayavadis as the worshipper and the worshipped. Means the soul and the Supreme Lord become one. They become united with each other. So, Prabhupada mentions that in this purport twice. Okay. But that is not the case. If you actually see this shloka, we understand that the Supreme Lord is going to give darshan to this devotee. There is no unification or oneness that is being described here. The Lord went and gave darshan to this boy And the boy will ask, he has some desires to be fulfilled, or he will offer some prayers and he will hear. There is the individuality of the Lord and the living entity is maintained. There is never a place, a time where both become together. They merge with each other. So in the second canto, also Lord Krishna says that neither these kings nor you nor me are natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadhipa nachaiva na bhavishyamah sarve vayamatah param. All of us maintain our individual existence, and there is no time where we do not exist in the past, present and future. So individuality is maintained. So this conception of becoming one with the Lord is not very much appreciated by Prabhupada, as he says several times in his purports. When I was studying in my college, Indian Institute of Science, I was working in a drama, and I asked one of my PhD students, I told some of the Vidyapit students, I was asking one of the Vidyapit students to play a role there. And I was playing one role and he was playing one role, and the drama was quite philosophical. Means entertainment is there, but I wanted to present some spiritual message in that. So somehow our discussion went towards Bhagavad Gita and this sloka. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya maisarvam idam protam sutre manigana. In that sloka, my understanding of that sloka at that time, I didn't read Bhagavad Gita also completely, but whatever understanding I had was, so no one is greater than Krishna. No one is superior to Krishna. But that guy had a different understanding. Mattaha parataram na anyat. No one is different from Krishna. Everyone is same as Krishna. Right? We accept qualitative oneness, but I am God. That's the conception that they are maintaining. Okay? And they have no doubts about it. Mattaha parataram na anyat. No one is different from me. Everybody is same. So the same Sanskrit is interpreted by some people in that way. I don't know much Sanskrit grammar, but Prabhupada translates it as Krishna is the supreme, right? No one is greater than him, no one is equal to him, etc. So that's why Prabhupada is here also, he is emphasizing that it is Krishna who is giving darshan to Dhruva Maharaj. It's not that they are both are becoming one. And further, Prabhupada also says that Dhruva was so absorbed in meditation on the thought of the Supreme Lord that he himself was attracted to Dhruva. So, because of the sincere austerities and devotional service done by Dhruva Maharaj, the Lord was attracted to Dhruva. Okay? So, it's not that Krishna is attractive only, of course he is attractive, but for Krishna also there is something which is attractive. Okay? This all attractive person gets attracted to sincere devotion and love and affection in the heart of a devotee. Okay. So Dhruva Maharaj, with his 6 months of sincere austerities and meditation on the Lord, he could attract the attention of Krishna. So one should worship the Lord, one should serve the Lord in such a way that the Lord becomes attracted to that service and then becomes very enthusiastic to reciprocate with the love and affection of the devotee. So one cannot demand the presence of the Lord, and just because the Lord is not appearing in front of our eyes, one cannot just say he doesn't exist, right? Because Krishna reserves the right of not revealing himself to a person who does not deserve to see him. Naham prakashah sarvasya yogamaya samavritah, right? So the curtain of yogamaya is covering the vision of an unqualified person to see Krishna. Maya javanika channam agna adhokshajam avyayam. Although Krishna is there within and without, na lakshase moodhadrisha nato natya dharo yatha. So Krishna is not revealed or visible to a person who is not qualified to see him. Nato natya dharo yatha means Kunti Maharani gives this example that if some dancer or an artist is doing some performance on the stage, an uninformed, naive, ignorant person sitting in the audience cannot make out what the dancer or singer is doing. Okay, the dancer may be showing different mudras and all that. So there is like a shankha, then there is a lotus, this and that, the kuchipudi, kathak, kathakali dancers, they have different postures and gestures that indicate something, right? When they do like this, they're indicating Vishnu, Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu. But the person who is sitting in the audience, if he's not familiar with certain nuances of this classical dance, that person may not be able to understand what's going on there, right? Similarly, ragas, different ragas are there. So while singing, somebody may keep changing ragas and the tones in different intonations, and a person who has some taste for classical music and he has some understanding for it, so he can appreciate it better. Not a person who has nothing to do with this classical music, right? So similarly, when Krishna is coming and performing various leelas, only devotees can understand and appreciate those leelas. Uninformed, atheistic people who are filled with desires for sense gratification, they may not be able to fully understand and appreciate Krishna's activities. Although they see Krishna directly, right? And that's not Krishna's fault, right? So because your eyes are not filled with the vision of love, Krishna, you are unable to see Krishna. So that's what scriptures say. Priyamanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaha sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Now, Prabhupada, in the second paragraph, he makes this statement. By pleasing the Supreme Lord, one pleases everyone. And he gives this example of watering the root. So this example is from the discussion between Narada Muni and Prachetas in the last chapter of fourth canto. There Narada Muni says, Yathataromola nishechanena trupyanti tatskhanda bhujopa shakha. He says, by watering the root of the tree, all the limbs of the tree, the twigs and the flowers and fruits and branches, they all get nourished. But if you just sprinkle water on the leaves and twigs, the tree may not survive for long if you don't water the root. Now somebody, after hearing this example, they may question, fine, I'll water the root and I will also sprinkle some water on leaves and twigs and flowers. The plant will appear very nice. It looks fresh. So similarly, I'll worship Krishna, but I'll worship some demigods also. I'll worship other Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, all the other demigods also. So what is the need to eliminate demigod worship? Fine. So one need not worship the demigods. That does not mean one disrespects the demigods. It's very clearly mentioned. You can worship the demigods, you can respect the demigods as Vaishnavas, okay? Not that they are individual supreme controllers who can do anything that they want, okay? If we don't identify their connection with the Supreme Lord and their dependence on the Supreme Lord and worship them independent of the Lord, that's not the right kind of worship, right? You cannot pluck the twig from the tree and then separately water it, right? You must sprinkle on it if you wish to, but you should make sure that twig is connected with the tree. That connection has to be identified. So someone may just say that, okay, we can worship the demigods also along with Krishna. So to counter this argument, Narada Muni further says, he continues the shloka. The next example that Narada Muni gives was that you may water the twigs and leaves along with the root, but I give another very powerful example. You should feed the stomach. You should give the food to the stomach only. Okay, then by feeding the stomach, all the bodily limbs will get their nourishment and strength. Now here there is no argument. Okay, so you cannot give your rasmalai to your ear, and you cannot give your rasgulla to your nose. You cannot insert this paneer sabji into your eyes. That's not possible. Or you can just take that sabji and then put it on your hands. My hands are getting nourished. So that's not possible. You have to feed the stomach only so that all the bodily limbs get nourished, right? Similarly, one has to worship Krishna. And if one is worshipping Krishna, the need to worship other demigods and different people may not arise at all. Okay, the exclusive worship of Krishna is recommended. That's what Dhruva Maharaj did. So in this context, one can remember a relevant shloka. Akama sarvakamova mukshakama udaradhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Akamaha sarvakamova mukshakama. Whether you don't have any desires, or whether you have all desires, or you are desiring specifically for liberation, you can always worship Krishna. Right? So Dhruva Maharaj had great material ambitions. He wanted to sit on a position which is superior to Brahma also. That position doesn't exist. Brahma is the supreme personality or the ruler within this universe. Right? So he wants a position above Brahma, and that's not possible. And this five-year-old boy is saying, I want that position. Narada Muni, you should give me that position. Tell me some honest means so that I can achieve it. So it's a very ambitious material desire. But still he worshipped Krishna under the guidance of Narada Muni and Suniti, two pure devotees, two great devotees. And because of this sincere worship, his Abhideya was very perfect. So Narada Muni, Dhruva Maharaj attained the darshan of the Supreme Lord within just few months, right, within 6 months only. So we need to understand that dependence on demigods is not mandatory. That does not mean we disrespect them. We can just respect them. No doubt about that. So that also is mentioned by Suta Goswami in the first canto. What is that verse? 1.3, somewhere towards the end it comes. Ghoran, ghora rupan. Mumukshavo ghora rupan. Hitva bhutapatim. Narayana kalashyanta. Ejantihi anasuyavaha. So they are all Narayana Kalas, they are all expansions of the Supreme Lord only. So one may not worship them, especially these Ghora Rupas like Kala Bhairava, Mahakali, this and all. One may not worship, Vaishnavas may not worship them, but Anasuyave, Vaishnavas are never envious in front of these demigods, envious towards the demigods. That also Prabhupada writes, a devotee is never envious of other living entities, towards the end of this purport. Okay. So now, the demigods are getting troubled by the austerities done by a Vaishnava like Dhruva Maharaj. Okay? And they are going and taking shelter of Vishnu for protection. What does that mean? The demigods are all dependent on Vishnu for protection. Right? If you depend on a demigod for protection, so then you are not accessing the supreme protection. Right? It's like something lesser. Right? That's not what is recommended by the scriptures. So one needs to directly worship the Supreme Lord, right? Through the medium of bona fide guru and all that. And sometimes a demigod also may act like a guru. For example, Lord Shiva acted like a guru for the Prachetas. So Shiva says, Yah param brahma sasakshat triguna jiva samgitat bhagavantam vasudevam prapannaha sapriyohime. So yah param brahma sasakshat, one who worships the Supreme Lord Vasudeva directly is very dear to me. Who says this? Lord Shiva says this. Right? So all the Prachetas went to the forest to do some austerities and worship of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, and Shiva noticed it, and he personally, voluntarily, without an invitation, came to these Prachetas and spoke to them Rudra Gita, a nice song in glorification of the Supreme Lord. Right? So when we worship the Supreme Lord, all the demigods are also satisfied. They're happy. They're happy that they are worshipping me. For example, some sannyasi comes and his assistant is also coming. You offer prostrated dandavats to the assistant and you do not acknowledge the presence of sannyasi, the assistant will feel awkward, right? Right? Sannyasi may not get offended, he may be humble, but assistant will feel very awkward. Similarly, if one ignores the Supreme Lord Krishna and then considers the demigod as all in all and the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Controller of everything, then the demigods feel very uncomfortable because they are also obedient servants of the Lord. Right? So, that's why Prabhupada says, what are the root here? So, if one can attract the Supreme Lord, one naturally attracts the whole universe because Krishna is the supreme cause of universe. All the demigods were afraid of being totally vanquished by suffocation. Now, you see, there is one incident in the 8th canto. Gajendra's episode. So Gajendra's leg was caught by this crocodile. Okay. And Gajendra struggled for 1,000 years to relieve himself of this crocodile's clutches. But nothing worked out. And all the she elephants, the wives of Gajendra, or the children of Gajendra, or the friends of Gajendra, they could not protect Gajendra in any way. They were crying. They were concerned. But they don't have the ability to protect. Right? So you may have concern for something, but we may not have the capacity to do something about it. Okay? So finally, Gajendra was given the remembrance or the memory of some prayer that he had offered or memorized in his previous birth as King Indradyumna. Then Gajendra offered that prayer. It's a very long, around 25 verses of prayers offered to the Supreme Lord. So, but he did not take any name. So Gajendra did not take the name of Krishna or Rama or Narasimha or Varaha or Vasudeva, or any name is not taken. So Gajendra is offering a prayer while glorifying the Supreme Lord by enumerating so many characteristics of the Supreme Lord. You are the creator, you are the maintainer, you are destroyer, you are cause of all causes. Namo namaste akhila karanaya, nishkaranaya, adbhuta karanaya, sarvaga mamnaya, maharanavaya, namo apavargaya, parayanaya. Like that, Gajendra has a series of verses, nectar verses, right? But he did not take any name. All the demigods considered, oh, this Gajendra did not call us. Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Shiva, Brahma, they were all thinking, Gajendra did not call any of us. Right? So, he did not take anyone's name. And neither the qualities that Gajendra enumerated in his prayer are matching our qualities completely. Okay? So, what am I supposed to do? So, we should not respond. Right? All these qualities that are described in Gajendra's prayer are matching the qualities of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. And he is not so easy to be pleased. Right? He will not come for Gajendra and the animal will die. And we will be indifferent. Right? This thought itself is offensive on the part of demigods in that context of Gajendra. So, Gajendra offered this prayer. Then the demigods did not come. And as soon as Gajendra offered this prayer, Lord Vishnu started running towards Gajendra on the back of Garuda. And he was so fast, Gajendra even could not catch up. Right? Acharya say that Vishnu just jumped off from Garuda's back and then just picked up Gajendra from the water and then cut the neck of this crocodile. So then demigods realized their mistake. Hare, what kind of great offense we have done? We thought that Vishnu will not respond so easily to this animal. And we were offended that Gajendra did not depend on us. Right? Instead, he is glorifying the Supreme Lord who is not very easy to be pleased. So they all came there. And as Vishnu is coming, the demigods were also coming, flying behind him. A big entourage of the Supreme Lord has come along with the demigods. And demigods were offering praises to the Lord. Please forgive us. We have done this offense. Like that. So, and Gajendra received protection from the Supreme Lord. Now you see why when it is said that we have to worship the Supreme Lord only, it is not fanaticism, it is not sentimentalism. It's not that we are, Krishna is just demanding, you have to worship me only, you cannot go to anyone else. It's not a demand on Krishna's side, but because Krishna is such a supreme well-wisher of all the living entities, He can cause the best welfare to everyone, and he notices that, he understands that, right? It's a fact from his side. So it's for our own sake that he's emphasizing that you should exclusively surrender unto me only. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. So in this Gajendra's episode only, you can just see that the demigods at one point became indifferent to Gajendra. Although they can notice that he is struggling. But Vishnu did not become indifferent. And Vishnu did not take offense. Demigods took offense of Gajendra. But Vishnu did not take offense. Vishnu did not say, "Arey, he didn't call my name. In so 25, 26 prayers he offered, there is no single name. I have Vishnu Sahasranam. Right? I am Adhokshaja, I am this, I am that. So many names are there I have. But he did not take any name. Rama, Krishna, Narasimha, Varaha, nothing is there. So why should I go? Krishna did not think like that.
The qualities that Gajendra had described in this prayer match my qualities. So I should go and reciprocate. Right? So qualities matched. In the case of Gajendra, although name is not there, the qualities that Gajendra glorified about the Supreme Lord matched Krishna's qualities, so he came to protect him. On the other hand, there is another person named Ajamil. Ajamil, at the end of his life, this Vishnudutas were coming and then trying to, Yamadutas came and they were trying to take him to the abode of Yamaraj. There, Ajamil was so attached to his son, and his son's name is Narayana. Okay. And he's calling out, Narayana, 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 like that. And that fellow is totally indifferent. He's a small boy, he cannot even understand the affection and love and the desperateness of his father. He's so ignorant, small boy, that he's just playing there. Although his father is dying. So although sometimes we may invest our emotions and feelings and love and affection on some people, we may not get similar kind of reciprocation from them. Either they may not have the ability to reciprocate with us, they may not have the ability to even recognize that we love them, or they may not even have the capacity to do anything about it. Just like all these elephants could not do anything to Gajendra. That's why we have to depend on Krishna only. Right? For example, Bharata Maharaj loved this deer so much, and the deer, after receiving so much love and affection from Bharata Maharaj, this deer just went away. And this poor Bharata Maharaj was lamenting so much, and then he died thinking about the deer and he became a deer. But the deer was indifferent. For example, Pururava, he was so attached to Urvasi, and Urvasi had absolutely not much affection for this Pururava, and she just left. Just because this fellow did not protect the lambs, she just left. And after that, after 1 year, she meets Pururava at Kurukshetra, and this Kurukshetra, at Kurukshetra, Pururava became so mad about Urvasi and then pleading, "You terrible woman, why are you becoming so indifferent to me? What offense did I do to you? Please come back to me." And seeing his desperateness and madness, Urvasi said, "Relax. Why are you so obsessed with me like this? You're an emperor. Behave yourself." Like that, she gave a lot of big counseling session to Pururava, but still he was so attached. So anyways, that's a side point. Sometimes we may have affection and love towards someone, or we may depend on someone for our own emotional support or physical support, and we may not get it from them. Unless it is Krishna, that persons may not have the intent or capacity to reciprocate with our love and affection. So coming back to this Ajamil's episode, there Ajamila was crying out, "Narayana, Narayana, Narayana, Narayana," and the Narayana was his son, and son did not respond. And actually, son was not Narayana. The name Narayana was personality Narayana. His son was not Narayana, the Supreme Lord was Narayana. Although Ajamil had no intent to call out the Supreme Lord Narayana, Ajamil was calling out his son only. Somehow the name matched. Okay. The real Narayana had sent his Narayan Dutas, Vishnu Dutas. In Gajendra's case, Vishnu recognized that although Gajendra did not take my name, he took my qualities. So qualities matched, let me go and reciprocate and save him. And in Ajamil's case, name matched. Although mood did not match, he was not calling out Narayana. Name matched, okay, let me come and protect him. So Krishna will find some insignificant reason to give us mercy. Nobody has this much mercy. No demigod and no human being, no big powerful people. None of them have the ability or intent to protect us or save us or reciprocate with our desperateness. Only Krishna has. Right? So in Gajendra's case, qualities matched. In Ajamil's case, just name matched. Like that, for example, Putana. Putana came to kill Krishna. Right? So although Putana came to kill Krishna, Krishna was closing his eyes and contemplating, did this lady do any kind of good thing in her life at all? There is nothing actually. She was killing babies. She was a witch. Right? She takes pleasure in relishing the blood of infant babies. What kind of good you can search? But Krishna found out one good quality. One small good quality he found out. You know what is that? she actually wore the attire of a mother. Although she did not have the attitude of a mother, she had the attire of mother. Something is there. At least for a few moments, she was acting, doing drama like a mother. For this, I have to reciprocate. Right? Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandyabhyam loka vanditaihi angam yasyah samakramya bhagavanapi tatstanam yadudhanyapi sasvarga bhavapajana negatim krishna bhukta stanakshira kimugavonu mataraha. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam. The Krishna's lotus feet are always held in the hearts by great devotees. Bhakta hridistabhyam vandyabhyam lokavanditaihi. And people who receive obeisances and worship from different people, so such great rulers of planets also come and offer obeisances to Krishna's lotus feet. Vandyabhyam lokavanditaihi. And Putana did not get the touch of that lotus feet of Krishna. Putana did not get the darshan of the lotus feet of Krishna. Putana, what did she get? Angam yasyah samakramya bhagavan api tatstanam. Putana received the embrace of Krishna. Right? So Krishna just caught Putana's body while sucking her milk. He sucked her entire life. And Putana was saying, leave me child, leave me, get away from me. But Krishna was not leaving. Not only she got darshan or touch of Krishna's lotus feet, which is extremely rare for people who perform even millions of years of tapasya also, but she got embrace of Krishna. She got the... Krishna is just completely hugging her and not leaving her, although she wants to relinquish Krishna. And Krishna is pressing all vital points of Putana's body, right? So, what kind of great fortune that Putana received, right? So, angam yasyah samakramya bhagavan api tatstanam yatudhanya api sasvargam. Although she's a yatudhani, she's a witch, still she got the position of a motherly nurse, a servant maid of Mother Yashoda in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Right? Yatudhanya api sasvargam avapa janani gatim krishna bhukta stanakshiraha kimu gavonu mataraha. What to speak of those mothers who give love and affection and milk to Krishna with voluntary attitude, right? So not like acting, but with love. So there in Putana's case, some attire matched, although attitude did not match. So in Gajendra's case, qualities of Krishna matched, so Krishna reciprocated. Although Gajendra did not indicate the name of Krishna. And in Ajamil's case, name matched. Although Ajamil was calling out his son, Krishna reciprocated. In Putana's case, just the attire matched. Although attitude of a mother did not match, Krishna reciprocated. In Dhruva's case, his ambition was material. Right? But actually, Dhruva's fortune is he got the guidance of Narada Muni and Suniti. And while performing devotional service, while meditating on the Lord Krishna, so he was just absorbed in that meditation. So that absorption, although Dhruva had so many material ambitions and revengeful attitude towards Uttama and Suruchi, still Krishna ignored that part. So Krishna ignored that part and then he reciprocated with the worship done by Dhruva only. So it is Krishna's desperate search in the heart of all the souls, does he have any affection for me? Does he in some way, in some indirect way, is trying to connect with me? So Krishna only takes this extra effort to deliver us, while other people may or may not do so. Right? That's why when Prabhupada is repeatedly emphasizing exclusive dependence on Krishna and surrender to Krishna, it's not sentimental, it's not unreasonable, it's not illogical. It's not just an emotional outburst, fanatic. Not like that. Only he has the ability and intention to reciprocate with us. Ability, no doubt about it. And intention, you can see through all these pastimes. There are so many such pastimes like that. Right? What about this? Even demons also. Many of these people are like partial devotees or little mixed devotees. Or some are, Putana is a demon. There are so many demons. In the seventh canto, first chapter, there was a nice conversation between Narada Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj. There, kama, dvesha, bhaya, sneha, what's next? Yatha, bhaktya, bhaktyeshware manaha. So whether you approach Krishna with your kama, or sneha, or bhakti, or krodha, or whatever, if you are trying to connect with Krishna, immediately Krishna will reciprocate, right? And if that negative emotion, although it is negative emotion, if that can lead to absorption in Krishna, just like Kamsa's fear led him to absorption in Krishna. And Gopi's lust led them to absorption in Krishna. And Shishupala's envy led him to absorption in Krishna. So even with negative emotions also, if one can somehow manage to absorb in Krishna, Krishna will deliver them also. However, these negative emotions are not recommendations. It's not part of your sadhana. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam is there. You should worship Krishna with love and affection is recommended. But negative emotions are not recommended. But we can definitely appreciate Krishna that even if someone is approaching you with negative emotions, you are so kind to reciprocate with them, right? To deliver them, to show mercy on them. So that's why exclusive dependence on Krishna is very much emphasized by Prabhupada and all the scriptures, right? So even demigods are also taking shelter of Krishna. And another aspect of this purport is all the demigods were afraid of being totally vanquished by suffocation, but the Lord assured that Dhruva was a great devotee. Important point. Dhruva was a great devotee of the Lord and was not about to annihilate everyone in the universe. Somehow Dhruva's austerities tormented the demigods and suffocated the demigods. That does not mean Dhruva is inimical to them. Prabhupada clearly says, a devotee is never envious of other living entities. As a byproduct of the austerities of Dhruva, there was some suffocation for the demigods. But that's not the end product that he was aspiring for. For example, remind me later. Vritrasura example is one thing. Secondly, let me do Vritrasura example. So Vritrasura was attacking the demigods, and all the demigods went and took shelter of Krishna. Okay, and Krishna or Lord Vishnu said, Vritrasura is my devotee. Don't worry, he will not harm you. You see, so Krishna gives a long plan how you can kill Vritrasura. Okay, you should go to Dadhichi Muni and then get his bones, make a manufacture a thunderbolt out of it through Vishwakarma, and then with that thunderbolt you can kill Vritrasura. Okay, and he says, don't worry, Vritrasura will not do anything. So he will, he is my devotee. So a devotee, although apparently he is troubling demigods or other people, apparently he never has an intent to trouble. He is just an instrument in Krishna's hands, or he is just practicing his devotional service, right? And even if there is some trouble caused by a devotee in the course of his activities, Krishna takes the responsibility of reassuring the troubled party and then reciprocating with the devotee. Okay. On the other hand, Hiranyakashipu also performed austerities that also troubled the demigods. Okay. And actually, Hiranyakashipu's end product or final intent is to trouble the demigods only. After receiving the result of his austerities and benedictions of Brahma, he ultimately troubled the demigods. But Dhruva Maharaj, all the while he is performing austerities, so he received some trouble. Demigods received some trouble. That does not mean Dhruva perpetually wants to trouble them. Right? So Hiranyakashipu later tormented. So because Hiranyakashipu was trying to connect with Brahma to receive some material benedictions, and Dhruva Maharaj was trying to connect with Krishna to receive material benediction only, but that connection with Krishna and the performance of devotional service to Krishna completely purified Dhruva Maharaj, even of his material ambitions, right? So purification guaranteed if one connects with Krishna. Akamaha sarva kamova moksha kama udaradhihi. So devotee is never envious, Prabhupada says. He never purposefully troubles anyone. Okay. Now this non-enviousness is described to be an important qualification for a devotee, of course it's just it manifests as a product of one's performance of devotional service. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. By doing akinchana bhakti to Vishnu or Krishna, all the great qualities manifest in the personality of a devotee. One of it is non-enviousness also. Now you see, Dhruvam, there are three levels of non-enviousness. Prabhupada writes in the first canto, I think third purport. In fact, the qualification to understand Bhagavatam properly is non-enviousness. Okay, what is that shloka, third verse? Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukamukhadamurtadrava samyutam. Not this second verse. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrute kimva parairishwaraha. Sadhyo ahrudi avarudhya tetra kruti bhisusrushubhistakshanat. So in this shloka, right in the first line, it is said that dharma projita kaitavo atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. This Bhagavatam kicks out all cheating religion or materially motivated religion, and Bhagavatam is understandable by non-envious people. Nirmatsaranam, satam, pure-hearted people who do not have any envy in their hearts. To the extent one is non-envious, to that extent he can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? With envy in the heart, one cannot assimilate Bhagavatam. One might just get the external flow and expanse, he may understand. 18,000 shlokas, 12 cantos, 335 chapters, this many puros, this many poetry, this is the chandas, this and that, that's fine. And one may even memorize the classes, all, memorize the shlokas also. Radhanand Maharaj says in 2013, Kartikyatra, Govardhan, in front of Govardhan he gives this class. Although one may memorize thousands of shlokas and mesmerize audience, and he can give kathas to thousands of people, he can be branded as a great scholar, still, if he has envy and pride in his heart, he has not understood a single syllable of what he has studied and what he is speaking. Okay. So, that non-enviousness is described to be a great quality of a devotee, and that enables one to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. It's there right in the first canto, first chapter, second verse of Bhagavatam, and towards the end also. Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam. Yasmin paramahamsyameka babalam jnanam param giyate tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam tat shrinvan supathan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchyennaraham. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam yad vaishnavanam priyam yasmin paramahamsya mekam amalam. There also this mention comes. So paramahamsas, Bhagavatam is appreciated by people who are very non-envious and pure at their heart. Okay. So that the non-envy is a very important quality, and I was saying about three levels of non-enviousness. First, when someone else is successful, he's prospering, you don't envy him. Right, you don't feel any jealous towards him. That's one level, first level of non-enviousness. Second level is you become a genuine well-wisher of the other person. Not just envying the other person, you become his well-wisher also. Okay, he is becoming successful, there could be envy, but you don't have envy, that's fine. You pass the first level. Second level is you become his well-wisher. Shall I help him in his success? May I be of some assistance to him in attaining success? So you are a genuine well-wisher, trying to help the person. And third level is, highest, trying to establish a competition-less society with God in the center. Prabhupada writes like this. Means you want everybody to be non-envious, and you want everyone to be well-wisher of everyone else. That's the degree to which a devotee is non-envious. And Prahalad is the best example of this. So he offers a prayer in the fifth canto to Narasimhadev. He says that Svastyastu Vishvasya Khalaha Prasidatam ध्यायन्तु भूतानि मिथो कलम धिया सो स्वस्त्यस्तु विश्वस्य खलः प्रसीदताम ही सेज माय डियर नरसिंहदेव लेट देयर बी स्वस्ति लेट देयर बी ऑस्पिशियसनेस फॉर ऑल खला विलन्स खला इज विलन और नेगेटिव कैरेक्टर सो लेट देयर बी ऑस्पिशियसनेस टुवर्ड्स ऑल द लिविंग एंटिटीज एस्पेशली द डिमोनियक पीपल हु हैव एनवी इन देयर हार्ट्स ध्यायन्तु भूतानि यू कैन ओपन दैट वर्स आई एम नॉट रिमेम्बरिंग ध्यायन्तु भूतानि कलो मिथोधिया मनश्च भद्रं भजता दधोक्षजे नेक्स्ट लाइन आवेशितो मतिरप्य अहैतुकी बाय परफॉर्मिंग अहैतुकी भक्ति वन कैन एक्चुअली डेवलप दिस नॉन एनवियस एटीट्यूड डीमंस आर फिल्ड विथ एनवियस एटीट्यूड एंड इफ दे आर engaged in devotional service they can overcome that envy and they can also become genuine well-wishers of everyone and Dhruv and Prahlad Maharaj who is born in the demoniac dynasty is praying for the welfare of all the people not just praying for their welfare he is also wanting them to become people who are well-wishers of others right so Prahlad Maharaj exhibited all these three levels of non-enviousness in his life he was not envious of the demons Second, he is a well-wisher of the demons, including Hiranyakashipu who tried to torture him. And third, he wants all the demons also to become genuine well-wishers of everyone without any envy. And that non-envious attitude is possible for anyone only if he performs devotional service. Right? That's why Prabhupada is concluding the chapter or purport by saying, a devotee is never envious of other living entities. Okay. Dhruva's austerities must have caused some trouble, but it was not done with any malice. That's just a byproduct of his austerities, the power of his austerities. So, in essence, we discussed that the conclusive and categorical essential message of scriptures is exclusive dependence on Krishna. Right? So, we need to worship Krishna, and worship of Krishna alone is sufficient. Right? We don't have to take anyone else's shelter. Other than Krishna Bhakti. And Krishna has the capacity and Krishna has the intent to deliver the most degraded living entities also and uplift them from where they are. Even if the living entity commits such abominable activities and becomes worm in stool or even a dog or a cat or an insect or whatever, Krishna stays right within everyone's heart as super soul and directs their wanderings and trying to somehow urge them Please take my shelter, I will deliver you. Right? So no one can be as merciful as Krishna. So we discussed about Krishna's mercy and his capacity and his intention to deliver all the living entities. And thus, the process of bhakti yoga unto Krishna becomes the only option, the best possible option available for a spiritual seeker. Secondly, we also discussed about the non-envious attitude of devotees. So to conclude, To illuminate more on Krishna's merciful attitude, I'll just conclude with one verse. Gajendra's prayer only again. So Gajendra says, Madhrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya swamsena sarvatanu bhran manasi pratita pratyak drishe bhagavate brhate namaste Madhrik prapanna, Madhrik means people like me, Gajendra is saying. People like me who are prapanna, surrendered unto you. Pashu pasha vimokshanaya, you can completely relieve them from all bondage. Pashu pasha, pasha means a rope that is binding us. Right? Pashu pasha, pashu is animal. Who is an animal? This is not a prayer specific to Gajendra only. Prabhupada clearly says that pashu is every conditioned living entity. So any conditioned living entity who is bound by the ropes of the three modes of material nature is a pashu. And he has to pray for shelter and liberation from Krishna. Madhrik prapanna pashu pasha vimokshanaya. And how can Krishna cause that vimokshan? Right? You are vimokshanaya, you are the deliverer. Where is he getting that ability? Why he is the only deliverer? Muktaya. Our Gajendra says, because you yourself are liberated, you can liberate us. If you yourself are also entangled, how can you liberate us? Demigods are also not in liberation. they are also conditioned to a certain degree. Right? They may be less conditioned than the average human being, but they are also conditioned. So it is only Krishna or Vishnu who is supremely liberated, and he has the ability to liberate us, muktaya. And just the capacity to liberate us is not sufficient, by the way. He has the capacity to liberate because he is muktaya. That is not sufficient. What else is needed? Bhuri karunaya. He should also have an intention to deliver us. He should have some affection and karuna, some mercy to liberate us. You may have the ability to give him donation 1,000 rupees, but if you do not have the intent to deliver, give him that donation, you will not give. Capacity itself is not sufficient. We should have the intention also. So bhuri karunaya. Krishna's heart is filled with compassion. Right? Bhuri karunaya. And just by having mercy, it is not sufficient. Right? You may have the capacity to help someone. You may have mercy also. But you should be attentively noticing what's happening with him. You have mercy and you have capacity. You have money, you want to give that money also. But you are not even aware that he's in trouble. He's in need of money. Then you cannot deliver him, right? So that's where the next word comes, alayaya. Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya. You are liberated. Bhuri karunaya, you are very compassionate. And alayaya, you are very attentive to the needs of your devotees. So you can only deliver. Fine. Muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya. And why is he aware of all our difficulties? How can he is staying in his abode, Goloka eva nivasatya khilatma bhuto, he is staying in his abode, how can he understand what we are going through? Svam shena sarvatanu bhran manasi pratita, by his amsha, as super soul, he stays within the hearts of every living entity, so he can easily understand what's happening with us, what are our needs. So he's attentive to our needs, he has capacity and he has mercy also, he can easily deliver us, right? Svamshena sarvatanu bhran manasi pratita pratyak drishe bhagavate brahate namaste. And that bhagavate brahate, although Krishna word is not coming here, Madhvacharya, the acharyas explained that bhagavate brahate is Krishna only. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. He is the supreme lord. That bhagavate brahate word is not applicable to any other incarnation. It is directly Krishna only. So Krishna found out, oh, he is calling bhagavate brahate. It's me only. Let me go. And he did not take care of that's okay. That's a detail. Let me go and deliver him. That is Krishna's enthusiasm to liberate his devotees, who even indirectly approach him, even with some material desires also. So we need to have this faith and confidence that only by practice of bhakti yoga unto Krishna, we can perfect our lives. There should not be any confusion in this. Right? Bhagavatam is repeatedly saying this. I am not saying this. Okay. Thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.